Praise the name of the Lord. Glad to see you here. You know that you can be blessed and also be a blessing. There was somebody waiting here for you this morning before you even come in the door. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's very pleased that you've come. And there may well be other people to come too. And he's probably got their name and their seat warmed up ready for them when they come in. It's not only for you folks, you know, it's for the people on the airways, those with the CDs and those on the internet. It's a place for you too. Doesn't matter where you are, if your love is for the Lord Jesus Christ, He will acknowledge your love towards Him. Praise the name of the Lord. We will just sing number 212, I Believe God. I believe God. Don't sing it if you don't believe it. I believe God, I believe God. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Believe it and say, I believe God. If you want salvation now and the whole ask people down the street, lovely people, anywhere, anytime, do you believe God? Oh, yes. I wonder how they feel when the Holy Spirit says, oh, do you? You haven't proved it by coming to service, by lifting up my name when someone asks. You know, we'd be very thankful for our situation to be a testimony unto the Lord. Let's sing number 188. Haven't sung this one for a while. Which is down from its glory. And it's, the verse goes, oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him. Once again, if you don't love Him and don't adore Him, don't sing. But if you do, give it all you've got. Down from His glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was. You love him? Amen. Sounded like it in the singing. That's real good. Yeah. Lord liked that. Brother Taz, would you like to come and open in prayer for us? Can you, we have your instrument. Oh, no worries. Brother Taz Collier.
Father, thank you for this new day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We rejoice in the Rock of Ages, that rock that never moves. Lord, that when we station our lives upon that rock, Lord, though the storms of life may come our way no matter what, Lord, that rock holds us in. That rock secures us in your love and your mercy, your grace and your loving kindness. So, Father, we declare this is a new day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know he is here. And even though he loves us all, everyone, when he comes and he sits right beside you, comes from in your heart, he's only worried about you. Just you. Yes. Feels absolutely privileged, that Almighty God is conscious of you. Take the name of Jesus with you, number 222. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, take him everywhere you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy. Amen. It's our joy too. But we must seek it. It's there freely, offered. And he'll bless you if you want to be blessed. Pretty good God to do that, isn't it? And he does it. 232. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered and jumped, God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, to heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Let's sing to him. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. Yes, he did. Came to love.
Amen.
He's made the promise he's going to hold tomorrow. But you get no pleasure out of that unless you're holding on to it. God has promised it. Believe it. Expect it. Let's sing one more there. Anyway, number 234. I particularly enjoy this hymn. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The broken heart I had was good for me. He tore all apart and looked inside. He knows you very, very well. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The broken heart was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of tears. He swept away the veil that made me blind. And then I saw the clouds with silver You know, I often think that, and I've always experienced it too. My father, as you know, loved the Lord, preached from this pulpit for a long time. And I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. You may be seated. You know, and I was uncomfortable about it. Uncomfortable. It wasn't really good. I knew the words, but I didn't know the God. And you know, when he came and said, Lee, you have to answer what the question is giving. And that, do you believe what I did for you? And then when he moved in, I was so ashamed of my own life, but so good and clean inside. And I always feel for people that I'm testifying to, if they could only have the same experience and know if they just give over to God, all that trouble would just lift from them. All we got to do is give it to them. What a friend. Do you know any other friend that takes all your sins away? for eternity? Just there is no more sins. What sins? According to the Lord. Just believe him and receive what he's done. Thank you, Sister Pauline. She has an item that she wants to sing for us and unto the Lord. And just while she's getting ready there, we've got lunch as usual here. Everybody's welcome. Be nice for everybody to be there. We have a 1 p.m. service as usual here in this auditorium. And at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, we have a prayer meeting, which all are invited to. Excuse me, I've had a tickly throat and I can't sing properly. Never could. Thank you, Pauline. You know, if we've ever got a song in our heart, sing it to the Lord. He doesn't worry how it comes out. He just looks at where the heart is. We have a few prayer requests here, and I'm going to ask Brother Bill if you'll pray for these and any others that may be here in the auditorium. We're praying for Nick here in Gisborne. He's a Greek man and who has a sore arm that the Lord will heal. He knows we will be praying for him. So that's Nick, just remember him. There's one from Paul Frangos in Canada. Urgent prayer needed for Brother Ken Boyer, a pastor in Calgary. has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, but God is able to deliver according to his promised word. Thank you, Paul Frangos. And for Brother Paul, hang in there, brother. I personally had a bleeding brain. They drilled holes in my head. God used the surgeons to attend that, but it was God that does the healing. Just hang in there. Just believe it. The intensity of it doesn't worry God. He knows what it's all about. So there you are, Brother Paul. Just remember Angie Brown at the moment. Will you please pray that God will keep the snakes and serpents away from my house? I had a snake on my back door a month ago. We live in Louisiana, close to an old bayou with water. Behind our home, I see them crawling around. Will you please take my prayer request? Also, my blood test came back showing I have autoimmune disease. It is causing my hair to fall out and fatigue. Will the bride of Christ please pray for me, Sister Angie Brown? Let's continue to pray for Israel. Their Lord, to keep them and anoint them in all their decision making and to encourage them regardless of their enemies. The Bible says they that bless Israel will be blessed. Another blessing for you. Pray for Israel. And if we have any unspoken prayer requests, well, I'll leave this to Brother Bill now. If you'd like to just bring whatever's on your heart and whoever wants.
I was just reading in Psalm 119 this week, and it just really jumped off on the page from me. It's good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, affliction is good sometimes because it drives us into God. And there's no other answer, so we just have to press into God. Anyway, I just want, he's such an amazing God. Like, I just was just thinking just of two amazing healings in here in the last month. It's just incredible. We just serve a mighty, mighty God. Anyway, so we got those ones, and I just thought of Isaac and Caroline. Jan said to pray for them. And Dee Dee over in India, she's having a wonderful time. There's a young girl there called Ella? What? Elsa. She's from Texas, but she's Indian, but she lives in Texas, and she's there with Dee Dee too, and Dee Dee's just really loving the fellowship with that young girl. Anyone else got any other? That's Phil who came here. No. Are they from up north in Aussie? Okay, no, wrong one. Oh, Justine Kujel. So one of the mums at school, she's got 12 children, and she just opened her heart out to Janet, the kids' rugby yesterday, and just want to pray for her. She's got a really incredible faith, and, you know, you can imagine raising 12 children in Rotorua. That's a pretty big job. She's a lovely, lovely lady. Just pray for her for just strength and, yeah, just peace. Anyone else? Yep. William's heard his back. Pray for William, young William.
Nathaniel,
amen. I was just thinking this morning when someone was asking, where were you last week? And I thought, praise God for you too. You know, just standing in the gap and just supporting there. Praise God. Anyone else?
People on the airways.
Yep. All those beautiful people who are listening in either now or later on. I got a text the other day from the Langalungas in Adelaide, well, out of Adelaide. Just pray for them, may their whānau there in, what's the name of that town? Somewhere off out of Adelaide a little while. What about you young fellas, you all right? Want prayer for anything? Anyway, we serve a mighty God, eh? So Lord, let's just come before the Lord and just hold on to him. Do you love him? Yeah, I was just thinking, love so amazing, love so divine. That's our Jesus. He just loves us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this morning, Lord. It is good that we might have been afflicted, Lord, that we might learn thy statutes, Lord Jesus. Even I was just thinking this week at Bible in schools, just sharing that story, you know, and he said to that paralytic man, your sins are forgiven. Sometimes the hard times come our way just because of our consequences of our own actions, Lord. Wrong living or wrong thinking or wrong whatever, wrong ways of behaving, wrong ways of speaking, Lord. Just bring it all into line with you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just help us, Lord, just to live a life that's godly, Lord. We can't live a godly life without God. We need you to come into our lives, Lord, just to flow through our veins, every cell of our body, every thought, Lord, in our brain, every word that comes out of our mouth, what our hands and our feet do, Lord, what we delight in, Lord. Lord, just we want it all just to come in line with you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray for these precious brothers and sisters who have laid their requests at the altar this morning, Lord, because they have a confidence in God. And that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for this man, Nick, here in Gizzy, Lord, who's got a sore arm, Lord. That's not too hard for you. Lord Jesus, just pray, Lord, not only that you would heal his arm, but that you would draw him unto yourself, Lord. For that pastor in Calgary, Lord Ken Boyer, who's got a brain tumor, even that's not too hard for you, Lord. We just heard from Brother Lee, Lord, the testimony of you and his life, Lord, and how you healed him, Lord. Lord, for that girl in Louisiana, Lord, I know myself, I hate snakes. I remember when I went to live in the States and they said there's water moccasins in the river. I thought in every little part of the river that I ever swam in the Mississippi that water moccasins were going to come out and bite me and kill me and I'll be thousands of miles away from home and I'll die of a water moccasin bite, Lord. Just pray for that sister, Lord. Is it Angie, Lord, over there in Louisiana, Lord? Just keep the serpents away from her home, Lord Jesus. Lord, just keep them away from her home. Obviously, you know, she's feeling that not safe in her home, Lord. And just pray for even just for her hair all falling out and that autoimmune whatever is breaking down in her life, Lord. Lord, you can restore that, Lord. Just undertake for her, Lord Jesus. Lord, for June's cousin's husband, Lord, just pray for healing in his life, Lord, for the physical needs that he has in his life. For Nathaniel, young Nathaniel, Lord Jesus, Lord, just pull him up out of the miry clay and stand his feet on solid ground, Lord, this morning, Lord, I pray. Lord, I just really thank you for Pauline and Paul just faithfully serving that boy, Lord, and being there to meet the needs that he has in his life, Lord, and the ups and downs and the diagonals and everything, Lord. Just undertake, Lord, for him, Lord, not to just keep going back to the same old, Lord, but that he would be a new man, a new creation in Jesus Christ, Lord, and that his feet would be standing on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. And, Lord, I want to pray for my own son, for Isaac, Lord, and for Caroline, Lord, and the situation there, Lord. You know it so much better than we do, and I don't even really want to understand it, Lord, but I just want to lift them up before you this morning, Lord, and pray that you would undertake, Lord, and I pray that you'd just draw Isaac's heart back to yourself, Lord Jesus. We don't know what it'll take, but we have a confidence in a mighty God and a God who loves us with such awesome and divine love that you will bring our children back into a right standing with you, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, William, Lord, young William Marriott, Lord, with a sore back, Lord, even for him, Lord, that he'd just want to be living right with you, Lord Jesus, for you'd heal his back, but even more importantly, Lord, that you'd bring him back into line with you, Lord Jesus, that he'd live a life that is pleasing to God. And, Lord, I just can't think of anyone else at the moment, but just for all of us gathered here together this morning, Lord, I thank you for fellowship, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you have not left us like, I don't know, wandering out in the desert, Lord, just with no one else to share our faith with and to encourage one another and uphold one another and lean on one another, Lord. I thank you for fellowship. Even for those sheep, Lord, who have wandered away, Lord Jesus. I think of Joel, Lord, and just great news last week, Lord, and just seen Willie Hickel this morning, Lord. And even for the other people, Lord, just Lord, that they would see the importance of just coming together and fellowshipping and loving on one another and drawing strength from one another and, just living like in the Christian community that you want us to do, Lord. And I pray not only for that, for just our own community, but also for us in Gisborne, Lord, that we would truly be salt and light in this community, Lord Jesus. That we wouldn't just be happy in our own little pew, Lord, or in our own comfortable little homes, Lord, with our heat pumps on or whatever, but just realize the deep, deep need in our community of people for Jesus Christ this morning, Lord Jesus. And that we would be stirred in our hearts this morning, Lord, just to be sent out, Lord. Here I am, send me, Bill Hughes, send me in Tokomaru Bay, Lord. Send all my precious brothers and sisters here in this morning, Lord, that we would not be just sit here in comfort of this is what we've got in Jesus Christ, but we have something so, so precious and meaningful to share with those lost people out there this morning, Lord. And I pray that we'd be stirred in our hearts this morning to do that. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. If you've drifted away and things are not going as it should according to the Lord and you, let's sing about it. As you remain seated, 291, how long has it been? Think about the words that we sing and be serious and see if you can answer for yourself. And those on the internet, and those on the CD, it's for you to let the song reach out and touch your heart with the Lord. How long has it been since you talked the Lord and told him your heart in secret? How long did you pray? How long did you stay on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your life fell beneath? How long since he reaches out for you. You saw it in the words of that hymn. If we did what it says, each one of us with sincerity and honesty before God, that's how we do to get back there. How long has it been since you walked with our God? How long since you kneeled down and prayed at your bed? We try and we fail, but God's still waiting right there. You love him? Well, let's sing this last verse again. And just know that you make a decision. Say, well, I'm going to do that. That's the Lord talking to me personally. Oh, how long has it been since you walked with our God and felt that the days were within me, and you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cares for you? As the musicians play this tune a little bit, how about we all just bow our heads exactly where we are, make a decision to our Lord, not me, not beside you, beside you, but unto him, as we pray, you and the Lord, me and the Lord. And then Brother Howard will come. Love you, Jesus. You're real, Lord Jesus. You've reached out for us. You came to Calvary. You gave your life, shed your blood, took all the abuse and the pain and the shame for us. All our sin you took on yourself, that we might have access to you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. Who loves him? That's a good start for a meeting. If you love the Lord, things can happen. God bless you, Brother Tim. How's your mother-in-law doing? All right? Oh, that's good. Praise be to God. Well, we just come around the Word of God this morning. Beautiful day out there, isn't it? This is the day the Lord has made, the preacher said. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You quoted that, Bill, remember? This is the day the Lord has made. Praise God. Well, I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's Word. I'd like to read from the book of Psalms, 107. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody this morning. A sister down there, I forget your name again, sister, but you said I was allowed to forget it, remember?
Koya.
Koya. T. Koya. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, let's just read Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. May God bless his precious word. And I just want to say right there, as we're thinking of this, it's sort of an exclamation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. When did you last really praise him? You know, it's a good question to ask. We should praise him day and night. His praises should be upon our lips, not just in our heart, but on our lips, because that's where God acknowledges worship, from the lips. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Reread. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself with fatness. May God bless his precious word. I've just always been amazed at this verse here. It says there in verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy. How can you buy without money? You ever thought of that? Praise the Lord. I just pray that God will satisfy us this morning. Who wants to be satisfied by the Lord? I pray that he'll grant that request. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning in your wonderful name. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in thy house. We pray, Lord, that the sweet Holy Spirit would come to us, Lord, and speak to our hearts, not to our heads. Lord, you always go to our hearts anyway. That's where God dwells, is in the heart. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd speak to every brother and every sister here this morning. Lord, that we would go away with our cups full, our hearts full. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll speak to every brother and sister here and those listening to us at this time, wherever they are. May you bless every one of us, Lord. Lord, we're living in the last days. We're living in the closing times of this world. We see the signs about us everywhere. There's such a great spiritual famine. Lord, people are thirsty. People are looking for something, Lord, and you are the one we need. I pray, Lord, you'll bless each one here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise be to God. Well, I want to speak about my satisfying portion. There is a portion that will satisfy you, and we want to speak about that portion this morning. My satisfying portion. You see, brother and sister, there's a lot of things out there that do not satisfy. It is true. They do not satisfy at all. But we know that we are satisfied in the Lord. The only thing that satisfies the soul of the believer is to be walking with God in the light of his word. And nothing of this world will come anywhere near satisfying the child of God against the presence of God in their life. There's nothing of this world will come anywhere near satisfying a child of God against the presence of God in their life. Now, brother and sister, if you've never truly been in the presence of God, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you ever have, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. He is our satisfying portion. Amen. Praise God. Now, everybody wants to be satisfied deep within. Every one of us. And this is a God-given, inbuilt desire of every person, I believe. And it's the devil's task. He has a task to prevent that hunger for the satisfying portion. To pervert the hunger for the satisfying portion with other things. The Bible talks about that term, other things. Very dangerous two words, other things, because it can encompass a lot of things that come our way. And these things do not necessarily have to be evil things. They don't have to be evil things, these other things. They're just other things. But they can suck up a person's time and energy. They consume you. You spend all the time in these things, whatever it may be, and they're draining you and stealing your precious time from seeking after God. You know, brother and sister, you can't be doing two things at once. That's why you should never send texts on your cell phone while driving. Now, many people have been killed because they have been texting while driving. That's a no-no. Don't ever do it. It's dangerous because it's other things. It's taking your attention and concentration from driving. Now, in the things of God, it's even worse. These things, you cannot be doing two things at once. I remember an old monk said once in a monastery, he said, the worst time to seek God is while you're eating. And I thought about that. It's actually true. You can't be eating and seeking God. It's because you're so busy satisfying the flesh. So I thought about that. Some of these monks, they had some things right. And they've experimented with those things. We get distracted so easily with our thoughts. I remember another incident. I think it was one of Martin Luther's friends, who was a monk, and he said about another friend that he had. He said, he came to him and says, "Oh, I'm having a hard job praying. Because when I'm praying, I start getting distracted with every other thought." He said, "Oh, that doesn't really bother me too much." He said, "It doesn't?" He said, "No, not really." Then the other monk said to him, "Well, I want you to do something for me then. I want you to go just pray the Lord's Prayer. And I don't want you to have any outside thoughts." And he said, "If you get through the Lord's Prayer without any distracting thoughts, I'll give you my horse." Now, that was a big offer in those days to receive a horse. So he started off praying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." When it's about halfway through the prayer, he thought, "I wonder if that includes the saddle." And that's exactly what happened. You see, it doesn't take long before we're distracted with other things. Other things. So may God help us. We're going to speak about our satisfying portion. And we don't want to be stealing precious time from seeking after God, after meditation on the things of God. You know, brother and sister, I want to say this. It's really good to meditate. Don't just come to church to meditate. Meditate at work when you've got a few moments free. I know you've got to think about your job. You've got to think about whatever you're doing. But I think it's really good to meditate. And all the great men of God have always encouraged people to spend time meditating about the Lord. The Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Because he trusteth in thee. You know, if you continually can think about the Lord, think about his word, that's why it's so good to read the scriptures. Read the word of God every day and pray and meditate on what you've read. So we have these wonderful scriptures. And Jesus mentioned this in his parable concerning the sower. In Mark chapter 4, verse 18. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word," or they hear the word, yes, "and the cares of this world," just the cares and responsibilities and the anxieties of this world, "and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in." Oh, I want this. I want that. I must get this. I must get that. Those things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Now, Jesus said that. Who believes that? Say amen. So those are the sort of things he's talking about. And we try everything in our human nature. We do try a lot of things to see if we can be satisfied by the world. And these things of the world can be everyday commitments even. We just get so taxed. Do you know what I'm talking about? Who knows what I'm talking about? You said it 3 weeks ago, Tim, and it stuck with my mind. The world, when you came up here, you said the world is always seeking our attention. Do you remember saying that? And that's exactly what it is. You know, if you can be distracted, like the person texting while driving, if you can be distracted, get your mind off God, that's all he has to do. It doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter what it is. If he can get you distracted, get your thoughts away from God. You're always thinking of this. You're always thinking about that. Or, you know, ladies, oh, I love that little dress in the shop. I want to buy that. I must get that. Or I'm going to look nice in that. You know, I'm just saying an example. Or whatever it may be. A brother might say, I want that car. I want to get that car. I must have that car. I wonder if I can get that car. I wonder if I can save up enough money. Spending all your time thinking about that, and God's left out of your life and out of your thinking. And so we're always seeking to be satisfied. We're not talking about the obvious sinful things, as I said before. You know, going to the dances and mixing with the wrong company and evil vices. We're not talking about these things. Brother, sister, some people might say, oh, if I could just have financial freedom. I've heard it so many times. Oh, I've always wanted financial freedom too. We all do. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're thinking about, how can I get financial freedom? How can I get a better job? And we're thinking about, if I do this, if I do that, and your whole mind is taken up with those things. Or if I could get married and have a wonderful family. Or a beautiful home. If I could just get a beautiful home. A prosperous business. It would be wonderful. And we do not realize that each one of these things are fine and okay. But without the Lord Jesus in our heart, as children of God, we are men and women most miserable. It's true, Brother Lee. If you're a child of God, you'll never be satisfied with the things of the world. It'll never satisfy you, empty and dry. Who believes that? Say amen. There's nothing in it. You have a high, then you have a low. Like eating sweet food. Goes up, then comes down. Doesn't last very long. I remember, you know, I used to love donuts when I was a kid. And I used to always get donuts. You know, I just loved them. But, you know, I always felt, oh, so beautiful. It's feeling so great having this beautiful big donut with cream in it. And you know what? In about 10 minutes or less, I felt very down. Now, Pauline will have a name for that. Well, they call it makes you go up.
Sugar rush.
But it comes down. That's what the world does to you. When you're looking for God and the devil offers you all these things, all these attractions, at the end of the day, you're left empty and dry. And so mixing with the wrong company and devices, we have all these things. This can be a real problem. Jesus warned us concerning this very thing. I want to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verse 16. You know, Jesus knew that we would have these issues. And every one of you have got problems you're facing every day. We all do. It's just life. And he says here, this is our Lord speaking, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now I just want to say this is really, I believe, speaking about the supper of the Lamb. This is something God has invited everybody to come to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb of God. Come, for all things are now ready. And they, with all one consent, began to make excuse. Now, I want you to note the excuses. Nothing was wrong with the actual excuse for itself. That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily the bad things. It's just things that consume you. And he said, they began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs to go and see it. Now, Jesus used these for a purpose. He bought some land. He's bought 20 acres. That land will not run away while he's at the wedding supper. Who believes that? What a ridiculous excuse. I bought some land. I must go and see it. It'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there next week. It's not going to run away. Jesus used that for a purpose. The master needs to go and see it. Pray, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. He's already paid for them. They're his. And I go to prove them. He didn't need to prove them. They're already purchased. He proved them every day of his life he wants to. And proving it won't change anything. That was an excuse. Jesus said they were excuses. I pray they have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife. Married a wife? To come to the wedding supper? What's wrong with bringing her along? Most people bring their wife with them. It's an excuse. Therefore, I cannot come. So the servant came and showed this his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the lame, the halt, and the blind. I tell you what, if we don't answer, there will be people who will answer. And do we realize that each one of these things that we mentioned, these excuses, cost them their place at the table? Cost them not to be seated at the wedding supper table. Terrible. These are not bad things, but they are enough to keep them out of the kingdom. Brother and sister, we need to think on this. Cost them their place at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. They were not evil things, as we said. They had no time for the things of God because time was taken up. They ran out of time. People say, have you been praying? I haven't got time. I say this, make time. Make time to pray. I haven't got time, make it. Steal off something else that's not as important and pray. And so we see here the Bible speaks again from the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. They're actually in a sleepy condition, spiritually speaking. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now the wake up time. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here it is. Redeeming the time, making good use of the time because the days are evil. The Amplified says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. We are being exhorted. The admonition is to redeem the time. Make good use of your time. Don't waste your time doing things you don't need to be doing. And the Lord gets left out of your life. He's on the back burner. Wonder why we struggle. I tell you what, brother and sister. Don't ever put him on the back burner. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that he knows we have need of will be added unto you. So, right living from the outside. People often think, if I live right, according to the word, they'll have peace. I go to church and I pay my tithes and I do this and I do that and I'm in good to the neighbor, chop his wood. And of course, every true believer wants to live right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just amazing, these things. But outward appearances are no proof we are right with God. You can dress right, live right, look good. I've got a wealth of things to show you. Well, not that I'm going to show you, I haven't got time today, but I'm going to mention a few. So there's no outward proof that we are right with God because it does not bring the peace to the heart. In fact, God said through the prophet Samuel, we read in 1 Samuel 16:7, But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Oh. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. When God looks at you, he's not looking at your suit or your pretty dress. He's looking at your heart. Five people say, if I do what all that the word of God says, then it'll please God and peace will flood my soul. But unless we obey from the heart, not from the head. Oh, Brother Howard says we do this, and if I do that, that'll... No. If we obey from our heart what the word of God says, his peace will not depart from our life. You may be very gifted. You may have several gifts in your life. And God is using you. But if our heart is not clean, we walk in the law with little love. It's not much good. I want to read you a couple of things here. Now notice in this now, David thought he had everything in order. He was inspired. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man? But it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now think on this, brothers. I've seen many people anointed, but their lives don't bear up. Something's wrong. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost, and the soul can be as dark as pitch. I don't want that sort of experience. I'm telling you now, I don't want it. I want it to be on the outside and on the inside. The Word of God declares the same thing. I want to read from 2 Chronicles 25. This is an amazing scripture I want you to note. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Joadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Oh my, he got a pretty good reading. He did everything that was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. I don't want that sort of Christian experience. We do things right. The Bible says do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Jesus said do that. I'm going to do. But if our heart's not right, it's an abomination. It really is. It's got to be from the heart. He said, he did it, but not with a perfect heart. May God help us not to hide behind our good works, as good as they may be. For good works will never bring peace by themselves. The child of God is constantly searching. I remember when I received the Holy Spirit probably 55 years ago. I'm still searching for him every day of my life. I want more of God. Who wants more of the Lord? I often say, I don't just want more of him, I want all of him. If you're a child of God, you will not be happy until you're overflowing with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you now, you'll thirst for it. You'll hunger every day. It's not just coming to church. That's good. We should go to church. It's not all these things. We read our Bible. That's good too. That's wonderful. We need to read our Bibles. But we've got to seek after God with our heart. Constantly meditating upon him day and night. Lord, I want more of you. I believe a child of God is spiritually wired to seek after God. It's just in him. You wonder why others don't seek after God. It's because there's nothing in there. But if the seed of God is in you, you'll start seeking for him. It'll actually be God calling you. They may try the world and all its amusements. They'll try being religious. They'll try being outwardly righteous, as we said before. But deep down, they do not find that satisfying portion. There's something missing. No matter what the devil offers them, all dressed up, they are left dissatisfied, disillusioned, and thirsty. I have seen so many people come to conventions, and I've been to many conventions. And I've seen them dance and jump and shout. I've seen them shake and speak in tongues and all those things. Very nice. A few months later, they're gone. It didn't get right down into the soul. They got an anointing. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. People could be anointed in a meeting. The whole church could be filled with the Spirit of God. But I just don't want the church to be anointed. I want me to be anointed in my heart. Who wants that? A real anointing right down into the soul. It's pure every day. Whether the rain's, it's raining or the sun's shining, it makes no difference. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Hallelujah. May God grant that to us. But still seeking for that satisfying portion, which can only come from God alone. And Satan is the master of deception. He's an expert. His reasoning powers try to very hard influence the believer into believing it's okay to do this or do that. You're okay. That doesn't matter. That's what he reasons with you. However, no matter what he dishes up to the believer, he can never extinguish a holy thirst for that satisfying portion. You'll never do it. It's wonderful, isn't it? He puts that in you. He gives you that thirst, and he's going to satisfy that thirst. God's put it in you, and he's going to meet it. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? So may God grant that to us. The sooner the child of God comes to this revelation, the sooner they find that satisfying portion that has eluded them for years in some cases. They think, well, I'll come to church. I'll go to this church. I'll go to that church. No, no. It's more than going to church. It's finding him. And Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only one that will satisfy you. You think of King David's experience. King David was a king of Israel. He had everything a man could desire. He had strong support from his servants, his army, and the blessings of God. He was chosen and anointed by God's prophet. It was looking good for David. And David had everything going for him, as we would say. But David was also a child of God, just like me. Just like you, seeking for that satisfying portion. And this is what King David said. We turn to Psalm 63, verse 1. It says this, O God, thou art my God. Wasn't that beautiful? Early will I seek thee. Sometimes you've got to get up out of bed a bit earlier, brother and sister. If you want to get to God, you've got to climb out. As Brother Greg Alford used to say, you've got to forsake the sheets and get out and seek the Lord. For my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That's where we are here today in this world. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. My lips. When did you last praise him with your lips? Because I praise in my heart. No, if it's in your heart, it'll come on your lips. In Psalm 6, we read this, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy hot anger, in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who will give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. David had a thirst for God. He says in Psalm 42, verse 1, as a deer, the heart panteth, deer is a deer, heart's a deer. As a heart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? David, where is he? Every child of God will come to the place that David did. The palace, David had a palace. David had servants. He had 500 wives. His wealth, his power, never gave him that satisfying portion. Never. Neither can this world and a so-called glory and wealth satisfy us. King David summed it up in this statement. Psalm 84, verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. For a day in thy courts, a day in the presence of God, is better than 1,000 days without him. That's what he's saying. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness and wealth and all those things. Just a doorkeeper. I just want to be a doorkeeper. As long as I can just get in the door, Diane, I just want to be there. If I can just get in the door, that's all I want, Brother Pastor, to be in the door of the house of the Lord. Then he's there. That's all that matters. To know that he is actually there. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. Amen. I don't know how you feel, but I'm feeling really quite stirred about this. Because I know that if I have this thirst in my heart for him, he has it for me. The reason you hunger for God is because God is calling you this morning. And you're thirsting for that. You're tired of this world. Nothing meets the mark. Everything sort of goes up and it goes down. But like that sugar level. It never meets the mark. And brother and sister, when we find him and we come into the house of God, and we're, even if you're just a doormat, you're in. Hallelujah. You're in his presence where there's fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. So he had all these things. He said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I want to read your story. I have read it before, a few years ago, but I want to read it again. I pray that it will touch your heart. It's very dear to me. If I can read it, if I can get through. And it happened. It was a true story. It happened in America. And this is what it says. Some time ago, there was up in Indiana two boys that raised out on a farm, and they were just as poor can be. Farmer boys they were, and they grew up together, and one day one of them got married, and a few days afterwards the other one got married, and one of them went into the city to live. And he began to play the stock markets. He got away from his childhood teachings. Listen to that. Got away from his childhood teachings. He went into the wrong thing. And he played them, and he got richer and richer until finally he became a multimillionaire. Then he moved up into Chicago and got on one of the great streets and built himself a palace. Him and his wife run to the nightclubs. They drank cocktails. They laid out all night. They had butlers and everything to furnish them with anything that they wanted. And they thought they were living. And Brother Branham made this statement. A man that lives like that has no peace. There is no peace to a troubled heart. To a sinful heart, it cannot be peace. If a man longs to drink, and he calls that life, and he thinks he's having a big time, it just shows his emptiness. Take a man that makes $1 million. He wants two. 2 million. Take a man that goes to the party and drinks one drink tonight. He wants another. Take a man that lives untrue to his wife once. He'll live it again. And vice versa. See, it's something that he's never satisfied. He might have $1 million in his hands or 10 million in his hand. He lays down at night with a drunken stew on him. He wakes up the next morning haunted, nightmares, troubled mind. And you call that peace? That's no peace. But a man might not even have a pillow to press his head to. He may not even own a decent pair of shoes or able to have a decent meal in his house. But if God reigns in his heart, he goes to bed happy and he wakes up happy. It's lasting peace. It's something that God does. Well, this fellow had forgotten that teaching, his childhood teaching. And he went to gambling. It came Christmas time and he thought of his buddy. So he wrote to him a letter. His name was Jim, the rich man. And John was the poor one. And he wrote him a letter. And he said, John, I wish you'd come up to see me through the holidays. I'd like to meet you and talk with you again. I haven't seen you for so many years. He wrote back and said, I'd like to come, Jim, but I can't come. I haven't got the money to come. Well, a check came through the mail in a few days, and he said, come on, I want you to come anyhow. So John got ready. The country boy put on his good, clean pair of overalls and his caddy hat, the straw hat it was, and his little coat of a different color. And he boarded the train. And when he got there, when he got to Chicago, there's a chauffeur sitting there to meet him with a big limousine. He didn't know how to act. He got into this limousine holding his hat in his hand, looking around, and drove up to a great palace in Chicago. He got out and went up to the door and he rang the bell. And out came a butler. He said, your card please, sir. He didn't know who he was talking to. He handed him his hat. He didn't know nothing about no reception card. He didn't have much money. He didn't have much of this world's goods. He said, I want your card. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. He said, Jim sent for me to come. That's all I know. So he went back and told his partner, who hadn't got out of bed yet. He said, there's a funny looking man standing at the door. Said he's dressed. I've never seen a man dressed like him. And he said, Jim sent for him. He said, tell him to come on in. And he slipped on his bathrobe and went down the hall. He met this little old country friend of his and shook his hand, said, John, you don't know how glad I am to see you. And the old country fellow standing, looking around in the room, said, Jim, you sure have got plenty. And Jim said, I want to show you around. So he took him upstairs and out onto the sun porch and opened up the window. John said, where's Martha? Oh, said, she's gone out. She hasn't come in yet. She was out last night. He said, how are you all getting along? And Jim said, oh, not much. John, how are you and Katie getting along? John said, just fine. He said, is she home? And John said, yes, we've got 7 kids. Said, have you got any children? Jim said, no. Martha wouldn't have any. Said she thought it would better not to have any children to interfere with our social life, you know. Sad story. Jim raised back the curtains and he said, looky here, John. You see that bank over yonder? He said, yes. He said, I'm the president of that bank. He said, you see that railroad company? John said, yes. He said, I've got $1 million worth of shares in that. And he looked down there and he seen the great gardens and everything, how beautiful it looked. And old John stood there with a straw hat in his hand. Looking around, he said, that's fine, Jim. I'm sure I'm thankful that you've got it. He said, me and Katie aren't got much. He said, we still live in the old, little old split shingled house down there. He said, we don't have much, very much, but we're awfully happy. Just then, a bunch of carol singers with their voices begin to come in singing Silent Night, Holy Night. And Jim turned and looked at John. John looked at Jim. And Jim said, John, I want to ask you something. He said, you remember when we were boys, and we used to go down that little old, to the little old red church down there on the side of the road, and hear them old country choirs sing them songs? He said, yes. He said, you still go down there? He said, yes, I belong there. He said, I'm a deacon down there now. He said, what about you, Jim? You were talking about how much you have down here. He said, how much do you own up this way? John, I'm sorry, said, I don't own anything up that way. And Jim said, you remember just before Christmas one year, we didn't have any shoes. He said, we were more interested in getting some firecrackers for Christmas. And said, we went down and set some box traps to catch some rabbits to get some firecrackers for Christmas. He said, you remember that morning that old big Woods rabbit was in that box trap of yours? John said, yes, I remember it. You got some firecrackers and you went and got some and divided them with me. He said, yes. He said, John, I'll divide everything I've got with you. But one thing I wish you could divide with me, John. He said, I'll give everything I own if I could walk that little old dusty road barefooted up to that little old church again and feel the presence of the living God. When the choir was singing, that old-fashioned country preacher was preaching, I'll give everything. I'll give you all that I own. Every share on the railroad and all the parts of the bank and this home and all. If I could turn back again and have that blessed peace that I had when I went up that old country road. Brother and sister, these things are real. This is reality. We've all got to face it. That's right, friends. He says, riches are not measured out by dollars. Riches are not measured out by big names and popularity. Riches is when the kingdom of God has come into the human heart, changed his emotions, made him a new creature in Christ Jesus, and given him eternal life. That's the richest thing on earth. Now, brother and sister, if you've got any God in you, you'll feel that pull. Lord, that's what I want. Just to go back to that simple experience of just loving you and being filled with your Spirit. Hungry for God day and night, just longing. I wonder if we could stand to our feet. Every head bowed. Every heart bowed. Lord Jesus, may we never be a Jim. God be merciful. Let's not get caught up in this world. But let us be a John that went down to the old country church, felt the Spirit of the living God. So people sing, little country preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, preach the precious gospel of our Lord. May we thirst for that, Lord, with all that's within us. Lord, my soul longeth after thee, as David said, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Lord, you all know, we all know, Lord, what we must be doing. May you fill our thirsty souls. Lord, there's some here that need you. We all need you. We all need you. But Lord, we want to be satisfied in the soul. All we want is Jesus. You're the only one that can satisfy the human heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd move upon every person here. Lord, those that are listening, wherever they are, whatever country they're in, may your Holy Spirit go there too. May they thirst. May they thirst, Lord, to be like Jim wanted to go down that to the little country church again and feel the Spirit of the living God once more moving in his life. Don't let us squeeze it out, Lord, with the things of this world, the cares of this life. May we not never lose sight of you, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to every heart here this morning. While we're still breathing, while we have a sound mind, may we make a sound decision to go all the way with you. Lord, help us all. The hour is late, Lord. Move upon us, I pray, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, for your glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that would not satisfy. They won't satisfy.
And then
maybe some souls here. Do you need a drink of the fountain? You know you're not satisfied. You want, God's got more for you. He's given it to us. He died for you. He's done everything for us that we may receive that deep well, that fountain of life in us. Maybe there's some just want to come down to the altar and just seek the Lord. You know God is calling you. You don't want to make a mistake like Jim. You knew all about God. But he ran off and did his own thing until it came a day of answering. There always comes a day of reconciling these things to come back to the Lord while you're able. You know God is calling you. That's why you're here this morning. Why don't you just come down and pray? I can pray for you, but you need to pray yourself. There are millions and who are seeking the pleasures earthly things are all, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ.
Anybody want prayer, just come down and we'd be very happy to pray for you. That God will bless you.
So my brother, come and quench this
just thinking last night what Jesus said. He said, when I return to earth, will I find any faith? I tell you, brother and sister, if you've got a speck of faith in you, you are blessed amongst millions. So many don't believe, but we believe. Who believes? Say amen.
Amen.
So good to believe. God gave you that faith. It's given to you. We need to use and say, Lord, I want all that you have for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you all. Brother Lee, would you like to come and just close in prayer?
Lord Jesus, we know it's the truth. We have a witness about that. I do. And I know I'm one of yours. Not where I should be, but I know that I'm on the way because you said the work that I start, I will finish. The Lord will finish it. The Lord will see it through. Help us, Lord, because we know that you will not. There's a time, there's a cutoff time. Even before we cross over, there's a cutoff time. And Lord, we need to say, yes, I'll receive Jesus Christ before it's cut off. There'll not always be that calling indefinitely. For those that are still in doubt, cause them, Lord, to know the reality of what the word says. Lord, just bless all those that have been listening in and those here in the auditorium. Help those that yet haven't made that final decision to do it. Because you will fill them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just say thank you for just blessing the meal that we're about to have, the lunch, Lord. Bless the hands that prepared it. We thank you for providing it. May the fellowship be rich and be with us this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing number 192, There is a River That Flows From Deep Within.
There is a river that flows from deep within.
Quietly dismiss. We won't be talking in the auditorium, but just bless the food you're about to receive. You are dismissed.